Welcome back to the summer series on conscious creation in the age of AI. Today, my guest is Brianna Shade. Brianna is a 5-1 manifesting generator who is using AI in really a unique way to grab a hold of her analytics in her business. On this episode, we talk especially about how she's creating Zaps. So using Zapier to hook up her social media, Google Analytics, and other kinds of things, which then allows her to mine that data for what's working and then tweak her content to create more like that. It's a genius way to use AI, and Brianna walks us through how she's doing that in this episode. Brianna is the founder of, let me pronounce this properly, Kitten Kazoidal. And the other thing that I think you're gonna find interesting about this episode is that Brianna took something that many people consider a hobby and she made it into a legit digital business. She works online running a membership crocheting cats. I kid you not. So welcome Brianna to the show. I'm excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
You have a totally different niche than anyone else that I have spoken with on the AI series. Can you talk to me a little bit about your business?
Yes, I absolutely adore my business. What I do is I crochet cats. So I have these little geeky kitties that I make. And then I run a membership where I teach other cat-loving crocheters how to make these for themselves. So it's really fun because it's all about reclaiming your childhood fun and that wonder that we have as kids and just playing, because it's not so much about learning how to crochet as it is about just playing. So they get a pattern every single month, but then they're encouraged to go beyond it. I give them ideas for ways to make it really their own. And our whole mantra is, creativity over perfection. It's not about getting it right and matching the pattern perfectly. It's about how do you make it your own and how do you have fun with it? So it's all about just the play about it. And I love that because it's so lightweight and I'm not like solving world hunger or anything like that, but it's all cats and fun and creativity. And I love it.
And we all need a little more fun and creativity in our lives.
Absolutely. Especially with the way the world is these days. It's like everybody needs some levity and a lot more cats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you find the world heavy?
Just a bit.
Yeah, just a touch. How did you get into this?
You know, that's so funny too, because I completely fell into it by happenstance. It was so random because, back in 2019, my husband and I decided to quit our jobs and travel the world full time. And we set out for a 14-month trip around the world. And before we did, I really hated the thought of leaving my kitties behind. So at the time, we had two cats, Mochi and Holly, a little tuxedo and a gray long hair. I didn't even know her breed is called a Nebelung. And I thought, what a fun idea if I took some of their fur and had it spun into yarn and then crocheted these little minis that looked just like them so we could take a literal piece of them with us all throughout our worldly journeys. And so we did just that and took pictures of them all in front of all of these landmarks all around the world and everything else. And it was wonderful. And they doubled as these cute little travel gnomes. It was great. But then when we were forced back home 9 months later, because this was June of 2019, and 9 months later, COVID hit. So we came back home and used this time and the remaining savings that we had saved for our travels to start a business. And we were trying to start a travel business during COVID, which was not the best idea. And after about 3 years of working on that and really not getting much traction, I found that it really wasn't in alignment with me and my passions and the kinds of things that I wanted to work on. And while I love travel and I'm passionate about travel, it wasn't something that I wanted to really do as a business. Mm-hmm. And so I took a step back and thought, well, you know what? I really enjoyed this project that I did making these little kitties. What if I just started crocheting some kitties and just make them fun and make them look like these little characters, you know, from movies and anime and that sort of thing. And I started posting that online, and people absolutely loved them, said, "Oh my goodness, this is adorable. Where can I find them? And do you have an Etsy?" And so I was like, "Well, I don't, but I guess I better get one." And so it just kind of organically blossomed from there. And I was just taking a break from the business. I wasn't planning on like monetizing this or doing it. I was just doing it for fun and to kind of, you know, heal from this emotional turmoil of trying to build a business kind of unsuccessfully for that period, and all of that was going on with COVID, et cetera. And I absolutely loved the process of it, and it really resonated with a lot of other folks. And so it just kind of grew from that. And so then I was selling them. I started doing local markets, and then it's like, well, this isn't really sustainable for a business model. What can I do to make it more scalable? And that's where I came to thinking of, hey, what if I turn this into a membership? It started as a kit membership, and now I have both a physical kit component and a digital component for those who already have yarn and just want the patterns and just the community and that sort of thing as well. And so that has just grown from there. So it's been quite a journey.
It's kind of astounding, really, because so many of us think that we can't make a business out of a hobby, or that an idea, and please, this is not a, but like we that something is too small. Like, who would think that they could take a craft that they're doing and make a legit full-blown online business out of it?
And not just, it's not just like random crochet. It's not here, come learn crochet. It's no crochet cats specifically. And so it's really hyper niched into cat lovers who are also interested in crocheting. But then you have this geeky layer on top of it of, oh, well, there also happen to be all these different characters. You know, I've made a little Sailor Moon kitty, and I've made a Hello Kitty kitty, and I've made obviously a little Totoro, and anyone who watches Squid Game, you know, I've got these little pink soldiers and whatever else. And so it's just so much fun that pop culture has so much to offer of what can you do with all of this, and how do you make all of these like pop culture inspired creations? And it really gives you the freedom to play, because you're starting with the same pattern every single time. So you're not really learning anything overly new, even though you're layering on different techniques of, oh, well, how do I do this particular piece? And so it's not like you're learning how to make an afghan 1 month, and you're learning how to make a blanket the next, and a scarf the next, and a hat the next, you know, all these things that it's like, okay, now I'm starting from scratch and it's completely new. You get to build on all of that. And so then it does become more about the creativity side of it than the actual learning, although you learn the process, of course. So absolutely, I really, I don't know. I feel very fortunate that I stumbled into this particular lane. And it's like, if you'd told me 5 years ago that this is what I'd be doing now, I was like, I'd laugh at your face. It's like, yeah, right. I would love to make money doing something with cats, because I've loved cats my entire life. But yeah, right.
It's so cool. So cool. Okay, so you are here to speak to us about how you're using AI in your business. And I know that we are in the same mastermind, and some of the posts that you do about things you're doing with AI, I'm like, holy crap, how does she do that? Like you did a code for a timer in an email series, and like so many things. I know you're a little bit more advanced tech than a lot of entrepreneurs, but let's start with the basics of like how you're using AI in your business.
Sure. Well, I will preface by saying I do come from a software engineering background. I was a software engineer before we started traveling. That was the job that I quit to go travel. And I loved it. And everything about it is a puzzle. And I specialized particularly in automation for my career. And so I'm really good at finding those holes of, I don't want to do this menial task over and over again. How do I automate this? How do I get a computer to do this? And so AI just kind of naturally slipped right into that sphere. And once ChatGPT came about and it was like really popular, you know, a couple of years back, it's like, wow, I'm going to do something with this. And ever since, it has become an integral part of my business. So I use it basically like an assistant. You know, I talk to ChatGPT. I have custom GPTs for different areas of my business, be it copywriting and social media creation and ideation. And I even have a business coach, a green cat named Sage, who helps me kind of structure my thoughts, because as a manifesting generator, I also tend to be like somewhat ADHD, you know, and so my mind can go all over different places. And so it helps me rein in those thoughts of, okay, this is great that you have all of these ideas and you want to put all of these things into motion, but let's focus on just like the 5% that's going to move you forward right now. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so it helps me structure that. And then I can check in with it once a week and say, okay, here's what I finished last week. Here's what I'm thinking I want to work on this week. Where does that all fit into kind of my roadmap that I currently have? And it can remind me, say, oh, well, wait a minute, you were also planning on doing this thing. And this is probably going to move you forward faster. So maybe focus on this first and let's put that maybe in like second or third place, you know? And so it helps with a lot of those things as well. So it's a coach and it's an assistant kind of all rolled into one. And I'm every day learning new uses for it, but that is the base layer of what I use it for. And then I can tie it into my automations through things like Zapier, et cetera, to where it just takes it to a completely new level. And that's what it gets exciting. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the excitement. I'm like, I want the exciting stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't want to go too fast here.
Yeah.
So the automation side of things. So I've got a number of different things. And again, I'm still exploring it and haven't worked out exactly how it fits into my business. But certain things like you can have like a board of directors of your custom GPTs and have them work together on how to figure out different things in your business. If you've got your social media strategist and you've got your launch planner or those kinds of things, they can talk to each other and kind of help you plan things. I've heard of other people who will do that kind of thing of hey, have a board meeting basically and loop me in occasionally when you need advice from me, you know, and it's fascinating. But I also have, I forget what they're called, but in ChatGPT, you can have like actions, I think is what they call, where you can have it actually tie to external softwares through Zapier, through the API of OpenAI ChatGPT. And with that, I can go into ChatGPT and say, pull my latest posts from Instagram, for example, and show me what worked last week and what didn't. And it can give me this whole thing because it's looking at my account and whatever else. And it can help me strategize for the next week or the next month, et cetera. Or I have it tied to my email CRM and I can see what are the trends of the people, which ones are people opening the most, my emails, what topics are they most resonating with? Maybe that's something I want to pull into social media or talk about on a webinar or what have you. And so it's just a great resource to take this assistant and then plug it into your different softwares that you're using. So if you're on Kajabi or you're on MailerLite or you're on, I don't know, different softwares that you have within your tech stack, you can plug it into different things there and have it do the research for you, which is really, really helpful. And it saves so many hours of your day.
Mm-hmm. So you're doing all of that with Zapier.
Yes, yes. I have gotten very well attuned to Zapier, and I'm paying for so many tasks because I think I have about 50 different independent Zaps currently in Zapier, automating various elements of my business. So I have things like onboarding, for example, when somebody joins the club, they'll automatically get an email. That's all handled through Zapier, tied to MailerLite, coming in from my Stripe account. And then when their payment fails, for example, they'll be added to a different list that'll send them reminder emails. If they cancel their membership, then that'll put them through a whole offboarding process. There are a whole bunch of things, even just built natively into my CRM, my mailing system, for when they hit 30 days or 90 days or a year, and reminders for upsells to maybe the annual from the monthly, or, hey, I've got this class coming up. Maybe you want to come to this as well, or all sorts of different things. And then outside of customer service, I've also got a whole bunch of like, I love spreadsheets. And so I've got all these Google spreadsheets with all of my inventory and my finances and everything else. And all of that's tied through Zapier as well. Every single month, I reconcile both my finances and my Google Analytics. So I can see kind of how well my sales page is performing and where the holes are. And it pulls all of this data from my Google Analytics and dumps it into a spreadsheet. So I can see, oh, okay, right now, this time it's my landing page. I need to make some changes there and maybe do some A/B testing there, or change the headline, or switch up the first photo, or what have you. And so all of that is completely automated. And a lot of it is assisted through AI. But I don't know, I kind of lump automation and AI together because all of it helps me be lazier. I'm a lazy programmer. And it's like, if there's something that I'm going to have to do over and over and over again, I don't want to do that. So it's like, no, a computer can do that. I can automate that. And so that's kind of my specialty, is seeing how many of these things can I pass off to a computer. Obviously, I still need a lot of that top level human touch. And that's why I also have physical, like real human VA assistants in addition to myself, of course. But it's this whole layering of, okay, how can I take the most base tasks and shove that off to a computer and have it do it on a regular basis, and then reserve the higher level tasks for the humans.
So, did you have any, or do you have any concerns about using AI? Was that ever a thing for you that you were worried about world takeover or any of the things?
I mean, I think that humans are still very necessary. I mean, even right now, you can look at trends that are happening on social media. People are really craving authenticity. They're craving just the simple reels of you talking to the camera, or you just having a real moment of you being vulnerable, of you speaking your truth. People are really resonating with that. I think at a soul level, we recognize what's real human. And I don't think AI can replicate that, which is why I can't fully automate my business away. And I'm chilling with a Mai Tai on the beach, 24/7, while making money in my sleep. It still needs that human touch. And especially with something as community-based as my business is, I really want to help facilitate people coming together and being that social element to life, And so I'm not really worried about AI necessarily taking over, because I think as long as people know how to use AI and are working with it, I don't think it'll ever really take over. It's when we get truly lazy and say, okay, I refuse to do any of this anymore. I'm going to let AI do everything. But then I think you'll lose the human connectivity on the other side of things, and you'll naturally be punished for that, I guess. And so I don't think AI can replicate that. And I don't think AI can ever replicate the human soul. Now, I will say one caveat I have is I don't ever use AI for imagery, because I'm also a photographer. I care very much about art. And I'm not a big proponent for having AI generate images, because I think artists, that's exactly what they're for. And it's the same kind of thing, if you need that human element to it. And artists put their soul into the work that they do. And so even the AI that I use right now is never for the creative work. I'm not telling AI, hey, write me 15 new patterns that I have never crocheted myself. It's That wouldn't make any sense to me, because it's about the creativity. I am still an artist. And so I very much respect other artists in that space. And so there is a line there for me with regards to AI, and it's really at that creativity line. If it's replacing somebody's creativeness, then I won't do it. It's the same reason I wouldn't have AI write a novel for me. But ideation, brainstorming, helping me work through stuck things in my head, or help me organize my thoughts as ADHD or anything like that, I'm all for that. But it's an assistant. I still control the reins.
I really love how you're using it to connect the Instagram piece and also the analytics in your business, because I feel like that's a place where a lot of entrepreneurs, they never look at their numbers and they have no idea. And I know for me personally, for me to go in, so in my human design, I don't have pattern recognition in my human design. A lot of people are like built for pattern recognition. I'm like, I don't even see it. So it's hard for me to go in and see not necessarily what worked, but like, why did that work? It's hard. I'll send it to my daughter and say, can you tell me what's the same about all of these things that worked well? So I love how your
AI is great for that.
Yeah. Well, that I need to do that. So I need to hook up a zap to my Instagram to pull that. Cause that's really like, that would move a business forward, having that information and being able to tweak on the fly as you go week by week by week. And you're using it for your Google Analytics too, I think, right? To pull those in.
Yep.
Okay,
I'm obsessed with my numbers. I was also a data analyst before I was a software engineer. So I love looking at trends. I love looking at numbers and kind of almost to an obsessive level. I try to tone it back sometimes. But I love really analyzing what is working here and where are the numbers good so I can stop fretting about that. Because if say social media is just this entire black box, then it's like, it's not working and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But when I have the numbers, I can at least pinpoint, oh, okay, well, maybe it's the hook. Maybe it's the image. Maybe it's a static image versus a reel. Maybe it's the music that I added, you know, and you can look at different things and start to begin to realize, okay, these topics, every time I post something about mental health or how cats, really help humans, especially neurodivergence, then I get a lot of response from that of people who are like, oh my God, me too. And, oh, I totally get that. I never thought of it that way. Then it's like, okay, those kinds of topics work. And it's more than just an intuitive recognizing that, hey, this happened to get a lot of comments and then you forget about it a week later. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT or AI, whichever AI you're using, can recognize that and say, hey, you know what? I think this topic would be good for you to continue in your cycle of your posts.
Genius. So you've said ChatGPT a few times, which is great. Are there other AI platforms that you're using, playing with?
Currently, I'm only on ChatGPT mostly because that was the one that came out first, or at least in strength, and became very popular. And so there were a lot of resources on how to use it. There were a lot of ideas to get you started. And so it was easier to kind of get your feet wet with that. I've tried dabbling with things like Claude and Gemini and that sort of thing as well. But I found that because I've been working with ChatGPT for so long, it's already trained on all of my stuff. And suddenly I go to Claude or something else and it knows nothing about me, obviously. And then it's like, oh, well, it'd be a lot faster for me to just go back to ChatGPT and do it over here because it already knows everything I need it to know. So yeah, I have played with some of the other ones, but not a lot, mostly because I'm already pretty settled in with ChatGPT. It's just easier to continue working there. Although I would like to explore a bit more on some of the others. I've heard Claude is much better with writing, like with the human language and that sort of thing. Can come up with better things where ChatGPT perhaps is better at the analytics and looking at big data and kind of extracting or summarizing major points from that. And so I think each one has its own strengths and weaknesses. I'm sure the landscape will completely change, might be entirely different even by the time this episode goes out, you know, who knows? It's changing so quickly. And so I'm just trying to stay educated. And I think as long as I'm practiced in any of the AI things, then it's easy for me to switch lanes if something else becomes more prevalent or more useful for my purposes. But I'm always listening to it. I listen to a bunch of podcasts that talk about AI as well. I'm not sure if you're familiar with like Michael Stelzner, for example. He's got a whole podcast on AI. And kind of what's bleeding edge technology. And so I like to stay educated on those kinds of things. And people are coming out with new GPTs and new softwares and SaaS and everything else. And so it's great to stay educated on that, just so you know kind of what's coming and what to do with some of that. And then pick and choose. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed because there are so many options. And so I'm here to say you're good with just picking one and sticking with it. You don't have to worry, well, maybe Claude is better. Oh, maybe I should jump over to Gemini, or maybe I should do this over here. Pick one and stick with it. Whatever works best, whatever you think is going to be easiest for you to get into. I think it's better for you to know something about AI than nothing. AI is not going away. And so there are a lot of people who are vehemently against AI of any kind. And I think that's kind of a disservice. It's like being completely against the internet. And I know there were people who were, but like the internet, I don't think AI is going anywhere. And you are best served if you stay kind of abreast to that technology and you understand kind of what's happening and where it might be going, because that will also keep us from the robot takeover, is if you understand, okay, we're going in a direction and maybe it's crossing a line here. And if you're ignorant to all of that, then you'll be completely blindsided. I'd rather use it for good while I can, you know?
So if someone was just starting out with AI, someone's listening in and they're thinking, holy crap, that woman does a lot of stuff and connects a lot of things. What's the simplest three things that you would say to someone, okay, in your online business, let's say they're an online coach,
Sure.
three things that they could actually take away from this episode and do today with their business and AI?
Absolutely. So the first thing I would say is number one, pick a platform. Whichever one sounds best to you, spin a wheel, flip a coin. It literally does not matter. Pick one. I personally like ChatGPT. It's been around for a long time. There's a lot of resources on it. You can easily figure out how to work it. It's super easy. You talk to it like a human. So just text it like you would a friend and get in and just start playing with it. I think that's step number one, is just begin to get familiar with it, begin to get acquainted kind of with the technology. It's like a Google search. You know, instead of going to Google and asking, how do I do this? Maybe go to ChatGPT first, or Gemini or Claude or whatever, and say, how would I fix this problem that I'm facing here? You know, and see what it comes up with. Obviously, take everything with a grain of salt when it comes to AI, because it's not necessarily vetted. And we're talking like crowdsourcing is pulling from all sorts of things. Double check things. Don't take it as gospel, but start using it as a resource. And then, as far as your business goes, start telling it about your business. And I like to start with things like who your ideal client is, what some of your products are that you provide, maybe some stories like your origin story of how you got into doing what you do and why it matters so much to you. That will start forming a really solid base for the AI to better serve you. And the better it knows you, the better it's able to help you in your business. And then from there, it's just you can help it have it help you with ideating things. So if you're whatever you're working on right now, say, hey, I'm considering three directions. Can you help me pick a direction? And maybe go from there. So I don't know how if that's three things or 15, but
Smoking like a manifesting generator.
there you go. But that's kind of where I would start with AI is number one, just get in there and start playing with it. Even if you're asking it innocuous questions of does pineapple belong on pizza, you know, or whatever, and have a little debate with it, and kind of see what it comes back with, and just get used to talking to it, and maybe using it for some pieces of your business. I like it especially for brainstorming and ideation though. So, for another easy, super easy thing is if you're looking for a week's worth of posts for social media, you can say, "Hey, I'm looking to post about this. This is my business. This is what I provide. Can you give me 10 ideas of things that I can write about?" And then from each of those, like, okay, I like 1, 4, 7, and 9. Can you flesh those out as full-fledged captions? You know, oh, and can you add a CTA? Can you give me hook ideas? And then you can like piecemeal everything, pick and choose whatever you want, and it can help you write some social media.
Social media can be such a time suck. I think it's fun
That too.
too. Yeah, it's always okay too to ask AI how it can help you more. So, we're so used to Google or whatever, but when you're working with your AI, with your ChatGPT, like so many times I have to say, well, this is kind of fun because I'm a manifesting generator as well. And there was one day where I was working with it, I was powering through, getting so much done. You know, that feeling that you have when your body, when you're doing that. And then all of a sudden it was like a whole different entity took over. And I was like, who am I even talking to right now? Why is this happening? I was getting so frustrated. And then finally I said, something like, why is this happening? What is going on that you can't even grasp this anymore? And it said back to me, well, it's because you change gears too often. You're in too many things at once. So what I need you to do is, so now I will say, okay, what That's do you funny. Need me to do in order to switch gears? Or if I was going to switch gears, how would you want me to approach that with you? Can we do a reset? Things like that. But even like, how can I get the best output from you for this XYZ project that I'm working on? Yeah. You can always ask it what you need to do.
Sure.
Which sounds weird, but.
Well, another thing that I'll do often with ChatGPT is ChatGPT has what's called projects. So you have like custom GPTs where you go in and you program it and then you can have a conversation with it. And it's built on whatever very specific things that you have programmed it with, personality and key learnings, like if it's going to be your social media strategist, for example. But projects are very similar. They're almost exactly the same. You can still train it in much the same way, but they are just folders. Mm-hmm. And then within each folder, you can have a new chat. So when I'm switching gears, I open a new chat within my folder there. So it's a very clear for my brain, as well as hopefully for the AI, that, hey, I'm switching topics here. Now let's talk about this over here. And that thread is just very focused. It also allows me to go back to it very easily instead mm-hmm. of some massive chat. Like, yeah. I know I came up with something genius in here, but I don't remember where it was. Scrolling.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I didn't know about projects back then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we need to have the folders for our ManyGen brains. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so where can people find you? Thank you for this conversation. I think it's super fun when people can just think, oh, wow, that's a really cool way of using it. I'm definitely going to be looking at Zapier after this and looking at hooking up some of my analytics to it. So thank you for that. Yeah, and absolutely. Where can people find you?
Sure. So everything from my website, which is far easier to say and spell than my business name, Kitten Kazoidal. My website is kittyminis.com. So I've got my Instagram linked from there. I'm on TikTok. I'm on all the socials. I'm most active on Instagram though. So definitely come find me there, but it's linked from my website, kittyminis.com.
Awesome. Thank you for making it easy. We'll link everything in the show notes for you as well, but that's really easy. I love it when somebody has just an easy handle to remember. So thanks for being here, Brianna. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.